Okay, good morning. Thank you all for the kind wishes. We should all be zochet to smachos in our families. Our daughter Nechama became a kala last night. Nechama, our daughter. So we should all be zochet for smachos and yeshuos. Today's daf is daf mem vav. Let's start again on mem heim and beis. The Mishnah had discussed the argument about a person who sleeps his way through the beginning of Shabbos. He went to sleep on Friday afternoon, and he was sleeping as the sun set, as it was being shmashos, as the stars came out. So you know, the whole concept of shvisa is you acquire a spot. Do you need intent to acquire a spot? If somebody was sleeping, there was no intent. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, even though he was asleep, he still acquires a spot, and he still has 2,000 amos in each direction from where he was asleep. All right, so that got into the question, what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hold about cheftzei hefker, about objects that are ownerless, there's no intent about them? And the Gemara brought a proof from a braisa about rain. So Amar Mar we learned, now starting from there, the two dots here on Mem Hamad Beis, Amar Mar we learned, Yom Tov, if rain comes down on Yom Tov, Harein Kiragle Kol Adam, the rain does not have a particular tchum. Any person who collects the rain in a bucket, in a cup, that rain now has his tum. It's like the feet of any person. Now, Vamai, why do you say that? Likni shvisa bukyainus. Why don't we say that the rain got its tum in the ocean? Because rain is ocean water that evaporates, goes into a cloud, and comes down. So let's say that the rain, Friday afternoon, as the sun was setting, was in the ocean, so that should be its spot. The rain should now, which comes down here in Englewood, is way off of the ocean, it's way past 2,000 amos from its tchum, this rain should be limited to 4 amos. Lamed lo krib elezer, is this against Rebbe Elezer? The ikrib elezer, amar kol olam kulam imei ukyanisu shosa. Is this price against Rebbe Elezer? Rebbe Elezer holds that all the water drinks, well, the whole world drinks on the ocean water, because all rain is really ocean water. Rabbi Yitzchak said, no, maybe all rain is ocean water, and even so, the rain that comes down on Yom Tov is not an object that traveled outside of its tchum, because maybe, this braisa was ba'avim shenis kashum erev Yom Tov askinan. It's talking about clouds that had formed on the eve of Yom Tov. So therefore, they don't have a tchum in the ocean. So Gemara said, I understand, how do you know that those are the clouds that are giving you the rain today? So Mahanach Azli, maybe those clouds left, and there's some other clouds that are giving you the rain on Yom Tov. So my answer is this: Lusimani Begavai. Maybe the case of the Braisa was that there was some marker to the clouds that formed an Erev Yom Tov, and those are the clouds that are dropping the rain on Yom Tov. And you know that those were the clouds because it still has that simen. Even if you're right that maybe those clouds are gone, and these are other clouds giving you the rain. Have you suffered the rain? At the end of the day, it's a suffix. It's a doubt about a rabbinic law because Eruv Tchumen is a rabbinic law. Safek de Devrayim, Lahakel. Whenever you have a doubt about rabbinic law, you can be lenient. Says the Gemara, one second, if the clouds have the rain and the rain comes from the clouds, Velikni Shvisa B'Avim, let the spot for the rain be in the clouds. And now that it came down more than 2,000 amos, it's out of the tchum. Tiv Shemino Dein Tchum Lamala Me'asara. Is this a proof that there's no tchum above 10 tvachim? Because if there'd be tchumen above 10 tfachim, likni shvisa b'avim, then the spot should be up there in the clouds. Answer the Gemara, l'olam eim l'cha yesh l'cha tchumen. Either there is tchumen above 10 tfachim. But the water in the clouds is absorbed in the clouds, so it doesn't really exist. So it didn't really exist on Erev Yom Tov, because it was in the clouds. That's why it couldn't be koneh shvisa. The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, it's not water that went out of its domain because it wasn't water when Yom Tov was starting at the moment of creating a domain. So then you have another problem. So now it's something nolad, something born on Yom Tov. So you should be muktza. That's why you can't move it. How can you be moving it according to your tchum, you, the guy who collected it? Ella, what do you have to tell me? Here's the final answer. The water is in the clouds. Water in the clouds is moving. The clouds are moving. The water is moving. The whole idea of being konesh visa is your shoves. You're ceasing. You're resting in a certain spot. But if everything is moving, so then you're never konesh visa. So the water in the clouds, it was in the clouds on Erev Yom Tov, it doesn't have a spot. in there, up there on Erev Yom Tov, because it was moving. If it was moving, it was never Kodesh Shvisa. Says the Gemara, Hashadas Slachi, now you've explained this idea, we can go back to the first case, the water in the ocean. Ukyanis Nami, even if the water is in the ocean. Well, Likshilach, it's not a problem. Maybe Ukyanis Nami meaned Naidi. Water in the ocean is also moving. It's flowing in the ocean. It's flowing in the ocean. It doesn't have a tchum. V'tanya, in fact, you learned in a brisa. Naharos Hamoshchin, rivers that are flowing. Mayonos Hanovim, springs that are sprouting. Harein Kiragli Kaladam, the water that you take from these rivers, the water that you take from the springs, it's not water that was out of a tchum. It's like your tchum. Whatever your tchum is, that water now has. That's water that never got a tchum. Since it never got a tchum, it never was Kona Shvisa. It never acquired a spot. Because at the key moment, when the sun is setting and it's becoming Yom Tov, the water's running. So it's not setting. It's not established anywhere. It's moving. So since it was moving then, it never had a spot. You, the guy who collects the water on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, it's going to have your spot. It's going to have your tchum, and you can carry it within your tchum on Yom Tov. All right, again, our Mishnah discussed the issue of a person who goes to sleep. He goes to sleep on Erev Yom Tov. The sun sets on him. He goes to... Oh, Izzy, a question. Please. Well, the Gemara had asked if Gemara thought that the reason why Meg Shamim don't have their own tchum, and they have the tchum of the guy who collected them, is because they were Heftzei Hefker. So the Gemara now says, but even if you say Heftzei Hefker could have a tchum, there'd be another reason why Meg Shamim would not have a tchum, and that's because they were never in any spot. Lo Shavtu. They were Na'im v'nadim, they were moving. So during, as the sun is setting, and the Ben Hashmashos, the time when you're Konesh Shvita, you acquire this as your spot. They don't have a spot, they're moving. So that's why later, when you get it on Yom Tov now, it's going to be the tchum of the guy who got it.
This concept is not working on Mayim
Zazim. Well, exactly. The whole idea of tchumim will not apply to Mayim Zazim. Won't apply to moving waters, because moving waters, they don't acquire a spot, they're moving. Oh, thank you. Love the question.
Is the practical halacha whether or not you can actually take water from the ocean? Is that the issue here?
Could you take water from the ocean on Yom Tov and carry it back home? You've got to carry, but maybe the water's out of the tchum, so then you'd be stuck. No, tchumen. Issues of tchumen. You're not allowed to... Something which is out of its tchum...
It's called tchumen.
Yeah, so now it's limited to 6 feet. You can't move it more than 4 amos. What's that?
I'm out of my
tchum
on this one.
You're out of your tchum. Okay, so again, the Mishnah's case was a guy goes to sleep on Erev Yom Tov or Erev Shabbos. He went to sleep when it was still daylight. And while he was sleeping, the sun set. While he was sleeping, it became Ben Hashmashos. And while he was sleeping, it became Tzeis HaKochav. So now the question is he stuck? Was he Koneh Shvisa? Well, I mean, do we say that he doesn't, maybe he doesn't have any tchum, so maybe he only has 4 amos, or maybe we say he gets 2,000 amos. Rabbi Yochanan says he gets 2,000 amos in each direction, he was Kona Shvisa. Even though he had no knowledge, he was Kona Shvisa. Amr Rabbi Yaakov Aridim Rabbi Shuva Levi, Halach Kri Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, Halach Zakri Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, he has 2,000 amos in each direction, and Halach is not like the view that says he only has 4 amos. Amr Rabzera Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabzera said to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, who said over this lesson from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Beferish mi'alacha." Did you hear Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explicitly say halachas like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? O michlalash mi'alacha, or are you deriving it from something else that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said? Amr Leitzer Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said, "Beferish mi'ali." I heard it explicitly. My klala, what would have been the derivation? And so the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, in all the machlokesim that we have in regards to Eruvei Tchumin, let's say the first machlokes in the Mishnah, a guy who's carried by Gentiles out of his tchum and then put down in an enclosure, can he walk the enclosure or is he still stuck with 6 feet? Halacha is always like the lenient view. Halacha is like the Mekel and Eruv, Eruv and Adurabanan. and we are mekel. So the Gemara says, well, if that was the rule, but that's not how Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi knew this. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi had heard explicitly from Rabbi Shuma Levi. And this argument about a guy sleeping, Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, he's got 2,000 amos, not 4 amos. Tarti Lamli, why do you have to say it twice? So Amr Abzer, Abzer said Tzricha, he had to say both things. Yashmin Allah Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Havamina ben Lakula ben Lachumra. If he would have said Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, he would have thought Allah is like him both when he's lenient and when he's strict. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri's svara, if his logic is that you don't need intent to create tchumen, you get your tchum of 2,000 amos in each direction with no knowledge too, then even heftzei hefker, even ownerless objects, would get a tchum, 2,000 amos in each direction. Now that could end up being a chumrah sometimes. Let's say I'm a resident of Yerushalayim, and there is a watering hole 3,000 amos outside of the wall of Yerushalayim. I would like to go visit the watering hole on Shabbos or on Yom Tov to, you know, enjoy the water there, to enjoy the place. So what do I do? On Erev Shabbos, I go and I take a can of tuna fish and I put it down 1,005 amos away from the wall of Yerushalayim. And now I can walk all the way to the watering hole. What happens if there were Heftzei Hefker, ownerless objects that were actually at the wall of Yerushalayim, and I'd like to pick them up now on Yom Tov and carry them with me to the watering hole? If you say Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, both Lakula and Lachumra, these Heftzei Hefker are stuck with only 2,000 amos. I can't carry them to the watering hole. If you say Allah is Kedivri Amekel Be'eruv, Allah is like the lenient view, then you would say that even Heftzei Hefker are not Kona Shvisa, and therefore the guy who picks them up, they have his tchum. Since his tchum is to go 3,000 amos in one direction, he could take them 3,000 amos in one direction. That's why Kamashwan, that's the Chiddush, we have to say Halacha Kedivri Amekel Be'eruv, Halacha is like the lenient view, and not just Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. So Gemara says, now, V'leim Halacha Kedivri Amekel Be'eruv. So then just say that, Halacha is like the lenient view, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri Lamali. Why do you have to say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, that a guy sleeping has 2,000 amos in each direction? Obviously we are going to say that, and he doesn't just have 4 amos, because Halacha is like the lenient view. So Gemara says, no, Yitzchak, I needed to say it. Sa'akot Ha'edachamina would have thought to say, Hani Mili Yachid b'makom yachid. When do we say Allah is like the lenient view? When it's one individual, one Tana against another Tana. Or Rabbim b'makom Rabbim, or a bunch of Tanaim against a bunch of Tanaim. Aval Yachid b'makom Rabbim. But when you have one Tana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, against the Chacham, against many, many other Tanaim. Emelo, then even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is lenient, maybe we have to follow the stricter view, because of the Pasuk, Achrei Rabbim Lahatos, you should follow the majority. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is Allah g'divri ha-mekel be'eruv, even yachid keneged rabim, even an individual against the majority, Allah is like the lenient view in Erevin. Amalei Rav la'abayit, Rav said to Abayit, Mechti, let's take a look. Erevin d'rabanan. Erevin are rabbinic. So, mali yachid b'makom rabim, mali yachid b'makom yachid, mali yachid b'makom rabim. Why would I even need to have a lesson? Allah is like the lenient view. Of course, it's a din d'rabanan. It's in the Rabbanah, Halacha should always be like the lenient view, even if that lenient view is against the majority. So the Gemara, no, I needed the lesson. I'm a Rapapa L'Rava. Rapapa said to Rava, it's not a question. But Rabbanan, even when it comes to Dinam Rabbanan, Lo Shani Lan Ben Yachim Makum Yachid, Liyachim Makum Rabbim, do you think that there's no difference between an individual against an individual and an individual against the majority? It's not true. Even in Dinam Rabbanan, when it's an individual against the majority, we would follow the majority. That's why I need to have a special lesson of Rabbi Shuma Levi, but then Erevin, we don't in Erevin. Halach is like the lenient view. But it's not, as we've learned in a Mishnah. This is in regards to Tumas Nida. At the beginning of Masech, the Nida deals with the issue of a woman who has discharges of blood. So she's a Nida. So really, she may have become a Nida earlier, because once the blood exited the cervix and it was inside of her, once it left the Makor, once it left the uterus, even though it's inside of her, she's already tmeya. She just has to go check to find it there. She may not be aware of it. She might be swimming or other things. She's not aware of what's going on inside. So now the blood came out of her. So once the blood came out, then she's certainly tamei. But really, she was tamei once the blood exited the uterus. But she may not be checking herself all the time. So there's a din d'rabbanan that typically when a woman finds that she's tamei, She now has to go do some research. What did she touch over the last 24 hours? And all of those things are also tummy. All the taros and kachim, they have to be burned because now there's blood outside of her. What happens if a woman goes a whole period of time without bleeding? Can we now drop this din d'rabbanan? Can we now assume that no, when we see the blood, she's tummy from now going forward, nothing retroactively? Or do we say even if she had a break and she didn't see blood for a period, we would still say metamin me'es le'es. She creates the tumma going back 24 hours. So it's an argument whether we make a distinction between a young lady and an old lady or we don't. Rebbe Lezer says, Kalisha, all women, even young ladies, if Avru Aleim Shlosha Onos, if they had 90 days without blood, then she has blood coming out of her, Daya Shaita, she's only going to be Tmeya going forward. There's no retroactive Tuma for the things that she touched for the last 24 hours. Whereas the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe Lezer. Chachamim say that's true with a Zakena, an old woman who had 90 days of no bleeding, then already Daya Shaita. She now bleeds after 90 days, she's only going to become Tame forward. Going forward, not retroactively. But a young lady, whatever it is, she missed three periods. That's okay. We still expect her to have blood all the time. She's a young lady. She's fertile. And therefore, now that she had blood, she's going to be Tameh 24 hours retroactively as well. So, Tanya Linden and Brysa, Maisa, there was a story. There were all sorts of truma and taharos, things that were touched by a woman, by a young lady who had gone 90 days without bleeding. And then after she touched these things, she then started to bleed. She saw the blood. Now the question is, the things that she touched in the last 24 hours, which happened after these 90 days of no blood, should those things be tameh? Rabbi said, all right, it's okay. It's okay. It's tahar. Achash and Iskar, after you remembered something, Amri said, you know what? Kedai Rebbe Lezer. We can rely on Rebbe Lezer and say that she's tahar, even in the last 24 hours. We can rely on him. Lismachalav, we can rely on him because it's a shas hatchak. It was a time of poverty, economic crisis. People didn't have a lot of food, so it shouldn't be ruining the taros. Now, my lachash and askar, what does it mean after he remembered? Even if we're going to say lachash and iskar, dein alach kribalazer, kribalab, elakrabanan, after you remember that alacha is not like kribalazer, rather you learn, you remember that alacha is like the rabbanan who hold that, 90 days is not considered a break for a young lady, and still there should be tumma for the last 24 hours. If Allah's like Rabbanan, how does he now suddenly rely on them just because people don't have a lot of food around? Ella, rather, it's a lo itmar, and how could he rely on Rebbe Lezer? Allah is not like Rebbe Lezer. Ella, it's lo itmar, hilchas alo kareb Lezer, lo kareb. There was no tradition whether Allah is like Rebbe Lezer, nor is there a tradition that Allah is like Rabbanan. But Allah and Iskar, but after you remember, the lav yachid palagale. It's not an individual against Rebbe Lezer, Ella Rabban Pligale, but it's a majority against him. Amar, he said, really, we should be following the majority, even though we're talking about a din d'rabbanan, a tumma of 24 hours retroactively. But even though we should be following the majority, since it's a time of poverty, kedai Rebbe Lezer lismachal b'shas hatchak. It's a time that it's not ideal, so we can rely on Rebbe Lezer. So here you see, talking about a din d'rabbanan, really, we would have paskin like the majority against an individual. It's only because it was a time of crisis that they followed the view of the individual. But you do see that even in Dinam Drabbanan, we follow the majority over an individual. So that's why it's a Chiddush. And we need Rabbi Shimon Levi to tell us, it might be true that most Dinam Drabbanan, you'd follow a majority against an individual. But in Eruv Etchumen, which are so lenient, Halach Kedivra Mekel Be'eruv, Halach is like the lenient view in Eruvin. And therefore in Eruvin, we would paskin like the minority view, even when there is a majority against him. Amar of Masharshi LaRava. Rav Masharshia said to Rava, Rami others say, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to Rava, Ubedirabanan, when we deal with the rabbinic law, Lo Shani ben Yachid ben Makam Yachid ben Yachid ben Makam Rabbi, do you not realize that there's a difference between a dispute of individual against individual versus a dispute of individual against a majority? But Tanya, we learned in a brisa about another rabbinic issue, and that is avelus, mourning, shiva, shloshim. Shmua krova, if you hear about a recent passing of a dear relative, no hega shiva, then you have to sit shiva plus shloshim. You also have to have the law of shloshim. Rechoka, if you hear about a distant event that a relative passed away, then you only have one day of avelus. Ezri Krova. What is a new news? Ezri Rechoka. What's old news? The Sok Shloshim. If you hear within 30 days of the death, that's Krova, and you have Shivan Shloshim. Lacha Shloshim. If you only heard about it 30 days after it happened, that's a Shmur Rechoka, and you only have one day of Avelus. That's a Viv Rebbe Kiva. Chacham say no. Achashmu akrova. Whether it's new news, achashmu rechoka, or it's news about something that happened in the past, a while ago. No hega shiva v'shloshim. You have to do both shiva and shloshim. So here you have a majority against an individual. You're talking about a dinin drabbanan, avelus. I'm Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, and here we have Rabbi Bar Chanan saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol makom shatu yotz motzi yachin makeov Rabbi Machmirim. Normally, when you have an individual who's lenient, but a majority are strict, halacha divrei machmirim amrubim. You have to follow the majority. You're strict. But here it's different. Even though it's only Rabbi Akiva, an individual, who's Meiko, and the Chacham are the ones who are Machmir. Halacha kadivrei Rabbi Akiva. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara. The Savar Lakish Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan held like Shmuel. Tamar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Halacha kadivrei Hameiko be'eruv. Halacha is like the one who was lenient in regards to Avelus. So whatever the lenient view is, that's the halacha. So again, what do you see? There's a special leniency in Avelus. But in regular dinim drabanan, even though it's a din drabanan, shani ben yachid makom yachid ben yachid makom rabim. When it's an individual against an individual, that's one thing. But when it's an individual against a group, you would follow the group, even though the group is being stricter. Okay. Going back again to Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. Rabbi Shuv ben Levi taught us two laws. Number one, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that a guy sleeping at the tchum gets 2,000 amos in each direction. Number two, another thing that Rabbi Shuv ben Levi taught us was that that halacha k'divrei Hameikel be'eruv, halacha is like the lenient view in Eruvin. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa said, it's trich. We need Rabbi Shuv ben Levi to teach us halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Sakadai Dachmina, who would have thought to say, Hani Mili, when do we say that halacha is like the Mekel? Be'eruv Chatzeros. Maybe that's only true in Eruv Chatzeros. Aval Be'eruv Tchumen Emelo. But in Eruv Tchumen, maybe not. That's a tzvich. I also have to tell you again, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who was lenient on a question of Eruv Tchumen. Now, where do I know that there's reason to distinguish between a Ruvei Chatzeros and a Ruvei Tchumin? It's not because we went to the Mishnah. Amr Yudhir says, when is this true that you need a person's intent for an Eruv Tchumin? Eruv and Tchumin. That's true in a Ruvei Tchumin. You need to know that he agrees to your Eruv Tchumin that you're putting down for him. When it comes to Eruv Chatzeros, it's more lenient because Eruv Chatzeros is always a benefit. It's a schus. You can make an Eruv Tchumen for someone without even telling him that you made an Eruv Tchumen for him because it's only helping him. So you see, Eruv Tchumen are more lenient. Eruv Chatzeros, are more lenient. I would have thought that the law of Halacha Divrei Hameikel is only in Eruv Chatzeros because there, Zachon Ladam Shlo Bafanav, it's always a benefit for him. Now, to make an Eruv Tchumen for somebody is not necessarily a benefit, because it means I might have, if they put down a tchum for me over there, that means in that direction I have extra space to walk, but I lose space to walk in the other direction. So a Eruv Tchumen is not always a benefit. A Eruv Tchumen needs a person's das to do it for somebody else. You need somebody's approval to do it for him. A Eruv Chatzeros you can do even without somebody's approval. So you see, a Eruv Chatzeros is more lenient than a Eruv Tchumen. I might have flipped to the law. Halacha is like the lenient view in Eruvin. It's true about Eruv Chatzeros because it's more lenient, but not about Eruv Tchumen. That's what I need to have also. Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who is lenient about a question of Eruv Tchumen. Rav Ashi get another explanation why we need to say both. Halacha is like the lenient views in Eruvin, and Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Sakadai Tachmina would have thought to say, Hanimil b'shiyuri Eruv. Maybe when are we lenient? When you have an argument about a situation where something you started with an Eruv, and do you have enough Eruv left? Do you have enough food left? Then you have to be lenient because you had a chazaka that it was good. It was originally a pre-existing state of it being good. But to establish an Eruv, then maybe I don't follow the lenient view. And I say, no, to establish an Eruv, I need to be sure that it's okay. I can't be lenient. I have to be strict. That's why I need to hear again, halachas like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. There's a Gemara, not Tamin. How do I know to tell you? There's a difference between the leftover of an Eruv and the beginning of an Eruv. It's not because we looked in a Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Man, when is this true that you have to put down 2 meals worth of food for an Eruv Chatzeros? B'tchilas Eruv, when you're starting an Eruv. Av b'shiur Eruv, when you already started an Eruv and you have something left over, afilu kolshu, even if there's just a little bit left over, it still would be a kosher Eruv Chatzeros. V'lam la'arev Chatzeros." Now, the reason for this is the whole idea of why you're supposed to have 2 meals worth of food for an Eruv Chatzeros. It's just to teach people about Eruv Etzchumen. Because Eruv Etzchumen needs 2 meals, that's why Eruv Chatzeros needs 2 meals. But it's all because of Eruv Etzchumen, and that's why there's reason to be lenient when those 2 meals were degraded. All right, now talking about rules of how to paskin. How do we know who's right when we have a machlokas tanoim? Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika Amru, Allah is like Rabbi Akiva Michavero. They used to say, when Rabbi Akiva is against the peer, Allah is like Rabbi Akiva. Then they used to say, Rabbi Yossi mechavei Rav. When Rabbi Yossi is against the majority, halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And then they used to say, Kirebi, when Rabbi is against the peer, mechavei Rav. Halacha is like Rabbi. Now, what did they mean with all these rules? The Mai Hilchasa. What does that mean? Whenever they see an argument, they're going to now go into the base medrash and say, listen, it's Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Nechemia. So we're following Rabbi Akiva. Everybody follow Rabbi Akiva. Is that what it is? Or is it that if somebody asks them, they'll say, you could follow Rabbi Akiva. But they're not going to go tell everybody to go follow Rabbi Akiva. Or maybe it's even less. If somebody already did it based on Rabbi Akiva, they'll say, don't feel bad because you had Rabbi Akiva to rely on. So what do they mean with these rules? Rav Asi Amar Halacha. These rules mean that they would go out and they would teach these laws in public based on these rules. They would determine for everybody. You follow Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva was just against Rabbi Nechemia. You follow Rabbi Yossi, even though he's against the majority. Rabbi Bar Abba said, no, it didn't mean that they would actually say this is the halacha to everybody. Matin, an individual asks them, they would say, you can rely on Rabbi Yossi, even though there's a majority against him, but you can rely on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amar, it would be even less. They would say, Nirin, you know, we think it's probably correct to follow Rabbi Akiva, and therefore if you followed Rabbi Akiva, you don't have to redo it. But not that they would even tell somebody who asked them, should I follow Rabbi Akiva? They wouldn't tell them that. Same type of argument about rules of psak, whether the rules of psak mean that therefore we actually go publicly apply the rules, or we privately apply the rules, or we just use the rules to reassure people who acted based on them. That argument exists in another set of arguments. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Ra'idi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yaakov Ra'idi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that whenever you have an argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, halach is Rabbi Yehuda, we go with Rabbi Yehuda. If it's Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yossi, halach Rabbi Yossi, we go with Rabbi Yossi. Ein tzarech lomar, and certainly, if it's Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yossi, then we'd certainly follow Rabbi Yossi. Because if, right, hash makom Rabbi Yehuda lesa, when Rabbi Meir is against Rabbi Yehuda, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. So makom Rabbi Yossi overcomes Rabbi Yehuda, certainly overcomes Rabbi Meir. Am Ravasi, Ravasi said, afani lomi, I also derive from these rules, Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Shimon, halachas like Rabbi Yossi, because I'm Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, and this is what Rabbi Abba taught us that Rabbi Yochanan said, when you have an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, again, hashbach and Rabbi Yehuda lesa. We know that when you have Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda wins. So when, you know, we have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi wins. So Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Shimon, certainly Rabbi Yossi wins. By the way, we had a question in the yeshiva, Meir versus Rabbi Shimon, Mai, what's the law? Teiku. We don't have a resolution. So again, these rules of psak also would have the same argument. Doesn't mean that these are rules of halacha, that when you see these arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, you go into the yeshiva, you say, everybody, we're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda. Does it mean matin? Does it mean that if an individual asks you, you say you can follow? Or does it mean nirin? If somebody already did it, and he feels bad, you tell him, you don't have to feel bad. You're following Rabbi Yehuda, and it's okay to rely on Rabbi Yehuda. All right, Amar of Mashashi, though, said, lesson l'hani klali, we don't actually accept these rules. How does he know that we don't accept these rules? If it's from the following Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, our Mishnah, l'ma adav adome, what's it like when you have three people who have overlapping tzchumen in the middle? It's l'shlosha chaseres, p'suchas u'lezu, it's like three courtyards opening to each other, p'suchas u'lezu, they also open to the public domain. If the two outer ones made an eruv with the middle one, she can carry to them, they can carry to her. But the two outer courtyards can't carry from one to the other outer courtyard. Even though the Chachamim disagree with him. Who's the one who argues with him? Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was the one earlier telling us laws in our Mishnah. I've almighty, we just said in these rules, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, Alach Rabbi Yehuda. So apparently we reject these rules. I says, my gosh, it's not a contradiction. Maybe we do have these rules. Whenever you have a rule, sometimes you have exceptions to the rules. So where we learned explicitly an exception to the rule, then it's an exception to the rule. But maybe generally, when you have an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halacha would be like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue at this point tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day.